First of all, I want to talk a moment before we get into some of the meat of this. There's a couple things we need to discuss right up front, because these principles directly affect the rest of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to try to mix some sugar with the medicine tonight, but we need to hear this. I need to hear this because it's a continued work. I want to talk just for a moment about spiritual maturity and character. You must stay in close contact with God to find out the specifics that He wants you to engage in. You understand that tonight is not about a formula. It's not about me presenting some one-line formula and just follow this and everything's going to be okay. You know, there are decisions that you need to make along the way, and we've had to make them and are still making them. But these are things that propel you forward. Sometimes they feel good to make the decisions and to do it, and sometimes, to be honest with you, they don't. But in the end, it works out really good. So we need to pay attention to this. This may mean that you will spend more time with God and find out. Maybe you'll need to make time. Sometimes you can't just find time. Sometimes you have to make time. And so you're going to need to do some of that. And, you know, only you can determine where that's going to come from. I can't tell you that. You're going to need to get along with God. You have to have a place, a time. You have to make time. You have to force time. You have to do something to get the time to hear from God, because that's the time that God wants to show you things. So spiritual maturity involves godly character. And godly character means being able to say no. And in this case, that could mean saying no to purchases. It could maybe mean saying not right now. Anybody can say yes and just impulsively buy something. But it takes maturity to know when to say no. And maturity is developed in godly character, and godly character comes out of spending time with God. You see where this is going? Okay. Now, we're going to get some direct answers tonight, but I want you to know this is just a preface. You've got to get this first. This is groundwork. Now, if you cannot avoid some natural things, it will be difficult for you to receive spiritual things. And I'm going to get down to where the rubber meets the road here. You ready? If you cannot avoid speeding, crossing solid white lines, rolling through stop signs, talking on your cell phone as you drive through the school zone, not putting your cart back at the grocery store, and other basic tasks of lawlessness and disobedience, and you say, that's not law. Well, you think about it. You think about it. You're here tonight because you have said to God, I want help, and I want to get from where I am to where you want me to go. And I'm talking about godly character. The Bible has a lot to say about if you can't even be faithful in these mundane little earthly nothing tasks, and yet you want somebody to give you the true riches? Okay, I'm not as far off track as you might think. Okay, so if you cannot do those things, then we're probably going to have a problem tonight. I have to avoid these things. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that comes to a complete stop at a stop sign. Sometimes I'll come to a stop at a stop sign knowing that the guy behind me is... He is anticipating that I will not stop, and if I don't move, he's going to hit the back of me, because there no one's used to stopping anymore. You just blow right through those things. We've got to change. We have to change. Luke 16:10 says that he is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If, therefore, you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, now we're talking about money, who will commit to you in your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Let me read you Romans 13. This is 13, 1 and 2 from the ESV. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Hello, Mr. Police Officer. Doing 50 and a 35? Your faith can help you get something that you don't even have character enough to maintain or keep. I know 3 John 2, you're familiar with it. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, comma, even as thy soul prospers. I think part of that soul prosperity involves the spiritual maturity to handle the thing that you just got prospered with. And I know I just finished a sentence with a preposition at the end, but it works. It works. Some folks say that it doesn't matter what I do. It's my life, and I can do what I want to do. And that, I'm here to tell you, is wrong. What we do affects others, and we have a responsibility to each other and to the promotion of the gospel, and to the promotion of the gospel, and to the promotion of the gospel. This is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. God requires faithfulness of us all. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, there's more to coming out of debt than just, give me the formula, brother. Give me the formula. Amen. You'd ruin the formula if you had the formula. I would ruin the formula, because it's not a formula. Listen, I want you to know up front, really, honestly, sincerely, this lady back here, Miriam, myself, it is in our heart to help people, honestly. But we also know that we don't help you if the truth isn't presented. If I just present some other rabbit trail for you to go down that leads down some other path that won't get you there, then I have not helped you, I've hurt you. I want you to understand that I honestly, sincerely say these things with love tonight because I care. I want you to go up. I want to see every one of you debt-free, mortgage-free. I want to see you go way past that. I want to see you with millions and millions of dollars to help the kingdom of God and promote things and live in dignity and help people and do stuff. There's stuff to do. But when you satisfy the immediate, you usually forfeit the future. And you can do it. It is a choice. You can choose to not do any of these things, and you will get the results of your choices. But grace helps you do what you think that you cannot do. Thank God for God's grace. We're going to start right where we are, but we're not going to stay where we are. We're going to apply the Word of God and faith and move from where we are to where we believe God wants us to go. Handling your finances and coming out of debt involves several things. They're not hard things, but they're several things. First of all, knowing the purpose for coming out of debt. Why go to the trouble? I mean, I'm doing okay. We're okay. We're keeping up with the payments. I mean, it's all right. I mean, we're eating. Everything's fine. It's okay. But why go to the trouble? Well, did you know that your money is not really yours? Remember when I said the other day that I'd show you one thing that you must change? Note to self, here's the one thing. The thing that you've got to change is thinking that the money you control is yours to begin with. It is not. It is God's money. The first step in becoming financially responsible and blessed is to recognize God as the source of your prosperity. It is all His. Every bit of it belongs to Him. He created it. He made it. He made you. He gave you life. He gave you breath. He gave you every day that you're alive on the planet. It's all His. We tend to think of the tithe or a certain percent or giving a certain amount as being, well, that's the part that belongs to God. Well, it actually all belongs to God. Every bit of it belongs to God. And it's not so much a matter of deciding how much that you can trust God with. It's really a matter of Him deciding how much He can trust you with. The money that you possess belongs to God, and He is basically just letting you manage it for a time. You're a steward. You're somebody that's responsible for a certain thing that belongs to somebody else. You're watching over something that belongs to someone else. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And that means, by definition, that it's not all for you. Amen. And I was thinking about this, and I just got this picture of a river. I grew up in Florida and used to scuba dive in these rivers all the time, and some of these rivers were very fast-flowing rivers. And one thing you notice about a river is it's moving right past everything on the banks, but the trees on the banks of the river still get fed by the water that's in the river because there's a saturation. There's a soaking out from that river. That's just a fancy way of saying when stuff passes through your hands, when money passes through you, it doesn't mean that it's just all going through you and your needs aren't met. No, you're just like that tree. You're on the bank of the river and you still get fed. You still get watered. Everything's okay. The day that you begin to understand how insignificant that earthly money really is, then you're never going to lack for it again. Money is worth less than gold. And God uses gold to pave the streets. It's really no big deal. It'd be like gravel or dirt. It's just nothing. We use money to do things, but I believe we've placed too high a value on getting it. Money is just a tool to get things done here on the earth. All right, all that's under number one. Knowing the purpose for coming out of debt. Got it? Number two is knowing what is already promised and established in the Word. What does the Bible say? Now, this is the part that does not change. This is an established fact. His principles work the way He said they would, and they don't change. They don't stop working. They don't work for someone else, but not for you. Your situation is not so far removed from everybody else that you have this special case that God cannot handle. He didn't have a word for that. I forgot to put that scripture in there. I mean, it worked for this couple over here. Or here's it works for those married folks, but it doesn't work for singles. Or it works for singles, but it doesn't work for single parents. And we could go on and on. No. It's a principle from God's Word, and it works the same for everybody. But will you commit to work it? Faith works. So if something doesn't seem to be working for you, you just have to understand that it's not God that's gone wrong, it is you. And we just got to own up to that. If there's something that's wrong, it's me. It's not that God has failed or gone wrong or didn't provide something. So go ahead, just bust your pride and get back on track, and let's run at it again till we get it right. That's number two. Number three, understanding your part of the promises in the Word. Your view of that word. If you see the promise as worthless, if you see it as something that won't work for you and you won't apply it, then it's not going to do you any good. This is where you decide, am I going to do it God's way or not? When you try to work God's plan your way, she no worky. You've got to do God's plan God's way. It's time for you to stop looking at everybody else around you to do something and to come through for you. This is where you come through with you, your faith, and trust in God, and planting yourself in the Word and doing it His way. This is up to you, and it's up to you to apply the principles and the faith to get it done for you. So your determined decision right here is what's going to affect you and the future generations. Because this is not just about what's happening right here in 2011. No. Get that out of your mind. This is future. This is families. This is many, many generations to come. And it's not all about just what's happening right here this year. Number four, actually acting upon the established promises and doing your part. Okay, this is not just knowing about it. Okay, this is the action part, right? Action. Your response, your cooperation with the Word. Partial cooperation will bring partial results. You can decide to do what you want to do. No one is going to force you. You get to decide whether you're going to participate or not. Right? We all get to decide that. No one is forcing us. So, when this mini financial seminar is over, and the choir has gone home, and then you're sitting at the table and with bills and a checkbook, and you've got to stand in faith because the amount of the bills to pay does not equal the amount that's in the checkbook to pay them, and due dates are real, payment plans are real, interest is real. These are real things. This is where you decide, will I or won't I be responsible myself and stand on the Word of God and do things the way I honestly believe in my heart is the right way to do it in line with God's plan? Will your faith be established in His Word at that time? Do you really trust God? All right. That was 4 points. Got them? I'm going to expound on those a little bit. What the Word says. I'm going to read you some things. The Word says, honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns to overflow. Proverbs 3. And then I'm just making a little comment here with each of these that I tell you. My comment is just simply this. It is good and correct to give God the first part of your income. Proverbs 21:5 says, plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. Handling your money requires a plan. And when I say your money, keep in mind we preface this, I'm talking about your stewardship. It's really God's money. Proverbs 21:20, unwise people spend their money as fast as they get it. I just think you have to honestly ask yourself, do I spend money as fast as I get it? If you do, it says that you're unwise. I mean, it didn't say you were going to hell, it just said you're unwise. It's not going to work out so good for you financially if that's what you do. It's unwise to do it that way. So, what's your response? You change. You get back on track, and you decide, you know, I'm not going to spend my money as fast as I get it. You with me? It's easy to spend money when you think it's all yours. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. My comment is favor is very valuable, better to have it than to have gold. Now, favor is awesome. Many of you have heard me respectfully say about my wife that she's the deal queen of the universe. Because Miriam walks in favor. She just walks in favor. She has favor all the time. My children do. I've watched my children do some amazing things that you probably shouldn't be able to do even at that age. I've got a couple kids that find money all the time. They find money. Amen. Every dollar they find is something I don't have to give them. I got a new definition for favor. I'm going to share it with you. Favor is God's overwhelming influence on others to work things out on your behalf. That's the... I don't know why I'm doing this. I normally don't do this for anybody, but I just feel like giving you twice the amount of groceries for the... Or, it's your lucky day. Or, you're the 100th customer. Our policy here at the store is that we never do this, but for some reason I just feel like... Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. We must cooperate with God. We must do our part. We have a part to play. God gives the increase. God makes it grow. God makes it work. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you must make up your own mind about how much to give. But don't feel sorry that you must give, and don't feel that you're forced to give. God loves people who just love to give. You have to decide to do this. God wants you to do it willingly. You sure are talking a lot about giving. I thought you were going to tell me how to get out of debt. Oh, here's one. I love this. Psalm 115:14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Now, I especially like that because I've got all those kids. Increase me more and more. God brings increase, more and more, levels of increase. You know, you are going to be further along financially a month from now than you are right now. You're going to increase more a month from now than you are right now. See, more and more doesn't stop because it's just more. Because as soon as you get the more, there's an and more. And I like the and more because after the and more is and more. Psalm 4, verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and here's the latter part of the sentence, and put your trust in the Lord. I tell you, Joy Nichols blesses me. I had some rough times I was going through, and Joy just has a way of saying something that just fixes it all for you. She's quiet, and she'll just say, well, Tony, sometimes you just have to put your trust in the Lord. There's a part of you that wants to say, yeah, but what else? I mean, it's more complex than that. What else do I have to do? And she says, well, you just have to just say, Lord, I trust you. You have to trust God. We've really got to trust God. Okay, so I'm going to summarize here. We just went over a bunch of scriptures. Here's the summary. Giving is good for you, and it's God's plan for you. When we do give, it should be with a heart of thankfulness and willingness. Here's the next part that we're going to expound on a little bit. This is understanding your part. I want to read a quote to start this section from Mark Carrillo. This is in his book, It's All Dirt. If we really believed Jesus when he said that it's more blessed to give than to receive, we would be much more aggressive in our sowing. Human nature is predisposed to selfishness. It takes a conscious effort to break free from the cycle that perpetually puts itself at the center. Giving is one of God's methods of character development. We become more Christ-like when we develop a lifestyle of giving. Pastors wrote the foreword to that book, and he says every believer ought to have that book. So I just believe that every believer ought to have that book. Now, for Miriam and for me, this is what happened for us. We recognized that God had a financial plan for us. And secondly, we began to follow that plan. Then thirdly, we were not moved from that plan. We just were not moved from that plan. We had to keep our eyes on that prize. And then fourthly, we cooperated with God as we walked out His plan. That's the doing part that we've been talking about. We've tried to live a life of balance, not just up and down and back and forth all over the place. We've tried to stay right where we believe God put us. And, you know, we're continuing in the faith, and we're trying to keep things simple, keep the main thing the main thing. We don't believe that it's right to have a poverty mentality, but at the same time, let me balance it, we also don't believe it's correct to just waste. There's an extravagant that you can feel like, glory to God, I'm a child of God, so I deserve. Well, there are a lot of things that God will bless you with, and you're a child of God, and that's right. And but the thing is, let God do that blessing rather than you obtaining it and financing it and paying interest on it to get it before it's time. See, there's the problem right there. Glory to God, I deserve that whatever. I deserve that, and God wants me to have it, so glory to God, I'm just going to go get it, and God will have to figure out how to pay for it. Well, you're going to have to figure out how to pay for it. We believe in being frugal and living within our financial means. In other words, we try not to spend more money than we have to buy things that we don't need to impress people that don't even care. Most of the people you try to impress really don't even care. They're not even looking at it. They don't even know who you are. We've learned that it's okay to be content with what you have while you're on the way to getting better. But let God bring that better to you in its right time. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, it is better to be satisfied with what you have than to always be wanting something else. Oh, and that is a hard thing because you're inundated all day, every magazine cover, everything that flashes on the screen, everything is you need it. Have you seen? They just came out with the latest this, and you've got to have it. I mean, how could you even continue with the other one? I mean, it's 3 weeks old. You mean you just got that cell phone and all you can do is make calls and surf the web and do email and all that, but it's not 3D? Well, you've got to have the 3D one. How in the world could you continue with life without the 3D one? It's always better to just follow God's plan and let Him build you gradually rather than you building you suddenly. Proverbs 13:11 says that money that comes easily disappears quickly, but money that is gathered little by little will grow. We try not to waste money on anything. Do we get it wrong? Yeah, we do. Once in a while, we do. But we try to get it right. We make an effort. At our house, we've chosen not to have cable TV. That's our choice. We don't have magazine subscriptions. We don't take the newspaper. And we do visit Starbucks, but it's occasionally. It's not three times a day. We have trimmed our sales regarding utilities, and we've cut insurance costs, and we don't pay money to other people to do things that we're willing to do ourselves. Okay, there are some things that maybe I can't do myself, but there are some things that I can do and I'm willing to do it. Like cut the grass and wash the car. And there are some things we can do. It's within our power and we're willing. And if you're not, again, there's no condemnation. If you're not able to do it or you're not willing, again, it's your choice. You will choose to or not to do it. It's okay. I'm just telling you what we do. We do not make snap decisions or impulse buy, but we shop around for better deals, and we know the difference between a need and a want. We do eat out, but we don't eat out more than we can afford. Eating out is a treat, not an everyday thing. I'm not supposing that everyone in this room is in debt or massive debt or any debt. There's probably many of you that are completely debt-free and you just wanted to see what I sounded like. I don't know. It's okay. If you've got lots of money and it's no big deal, hey, eat out. I want you to enjoy the things. It's not a problem, really. But what I'm saying is if you are in debt, there are choices that you can make that are in your power to do that you can do to cut spending. And we watch that because when we go somewhere, we take up half the restaurant. It's not just me and Miriam going out for dinner. It's me and Miriam and Josh and Ben, Elizabeth, Matthew, Phoebe, Anna, Nathaniel. I mean, there's 9 of us that walk in the door everywhere we go. So, yeah, we watch it. We watch it. We use credit cards as a convenience, but we absolutely pay them off every month, and we will not pay interest. Will not. We are adamantly opposed to paying interest. Interest is just like throwing your money away. It's like going up I-35 with your window down and just throwing the money out the window. It's money that is leaving you, that's your money that you could be using for something else. So we use the gifts and talents that God's given us to make extra money when we can. And then when we do get that extra money, we apply it where it does the most good. And the most good doesn't mean another trinket, another thing. And I mean, you have to put the money where it does the most good. We look for bargains and deals rather than just paying full retail. There was this hat that I wanted. Pastor Bob looks so good in these hats. He's got some hats. And, you know, some of his hats, they look like kind of that Indiana Jones looking look. And they're a nice hat. I mean, he looks good in them. Have you seen, like, on the front cover of the Israel brochure, he's got that hat on? He looks good in a hat. Well, I got the bright idea that I need a hat like that. And I went on the search. Now, of course, I'm going on the search. I won't pay retail for the hat. Even though I find the hat, there it is, but it's retail. I won't buy it. And I wait and wait and wait. And the hat I was looking at that I really wanted, it was like $65, $70 for this hat. and I just wouldn't pay it. But I found another one that was close to it, but didn't have the right, it just wasn't right, but it was $30. And then I can't do it because it's not just right. So finally, I walk into the store that I'd been in before. This has been a couple months later now, and there's the hat. There's one hat back there, and it's on the clearance thing. I'm walking in, like walking with some authority, going back there to the clearance. And before I did anything, I picked it up and just put it on to see if it fit, because that's the next thing. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't matter. Well, it fit. It was perfect. Oh, man. Then I look at the price. The same hat that was like 60-some-odd dollars, it was $6. I haven't worn it yet. It's still in my closet. And I haven't worn it because I look terrible in it. I desperately wanted to look as good as Pastor Bob looked in his hat, but the reality is I put the hat on and I just look like a goofball. Okay, so we buy quality products and we keep them for a long time rather than buying and rebuying products. How long have we had our vacuum cleaner? 21 years? Yeah. Now, we paid more for it. But we've had it 21 years and it works fine. There's no problem with it. So buy quality products. We count on the favor of God to operate in our lives every day. And we anticipate that every single day we will have the provision that we need for that day. We walk by faith and not by sight. We believe that it's just as important to properly handle the remaining 90% of your money as it was to return 10% to God. Back to what we said before, we get in our mind that 10% belongs to the Lord and 90% is ours to do what we want to with. See, sometimes it looks very difficult financially, and we don't necessarily see how we're going to make it or pay that bill or whatever it might be. But that's when we fall back on trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. We're going to trust God. We believe in giving to God. We believe it's the right thing to do. Now, once we give, we let it go. We don't try to control what happens to it once it leaves our hands. We don't try to determine what it's going to be used for or how it's going to be used. We just put our trust in God, knowing that He knows what He's doing and He'll take it from there. Our part was to do the giving, and His part was to utilize it. Now, it could be that the money doesn't get utilized the way I think it should. If I honestly believe in my heart that God wanted me to do it. See, we're back to that again. What did God say to do? That's why I said you need a relationship with God. You need to find out from God, did He or did He not want you to give that money? Did He or did He not want you to give that vehicle or this, whatever it might be? If you know in your heart that God wanted you to do that, let it go. Trust God. Don't be so controlling over everything. But it doesn't make sense because I can see what's happening. Well, then you're seeing too much. Are you going to walk by faith, or are you going to walk by what you see, by what you know, or in some cases what you think you know, and it might not even be that way, but you think it is, so you've predetermined how it's going to be, and you've already got this whole planned scenario of how this thing is ultimately going to be able to support the satanic church or something, and it's not even that way. The Bible says to give, and it shall be given unto you. Not just, it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. It's good to continue in faith and not be moved, not be double-minded. All right, let's summarize this section. God has a financial plan for you, but I also have a part to play. I can choose to cooperate with His plan rather than my own. Simple enough. Okay, part three. Ways to spend less money and keep more of what you make. Okay, remember when I said I was going to show you three things that you could do right now with what you have that are going to start putting more money back in your pocket every month? Remember when I said that?
Yeah.
I actually lied. It's much more than three. It's three your choice. There's a long list of stuff. But I'm sure you'll be able to find three, hopefully you'll be able to find three, among this list that will help you. All right. Again, this is not a poverty mentality, but we believe it is good stewardship, and we believe it puts you in a place of greater blessing. These are things that I believe you should consider while you are in debt. I want you to have fun. I want you to do stuff. I want you to get things. I want you to have that, really. I'm just saying these are things that I think you should consider while you're in debt. You should consider doing these, cutting these, looking at these, taking a fresh look at these, whatever it may be, because you will find money in here without having to get a raise. You will find money that you are spending right now that you don't need to spend, that you could choose not to spend. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, Tony is not saying, I want your life to be boring and drab and I don't want you to have any fun. I don't want you to eat out. I don't want you to go anywhere. I don't want you to do any. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we all have choices. If you're in debt, I think you could and should make some choices that might not feel so great right now that will feel really good a short time from now. And please don't lose sight of that word that Pastor gave. I really believe, just like that prodigal son, I believe if you will take a step toward God, He will lunge toward you. He will jump and run toward you, overwhelmingly so. There are things we can do. Cut the cable. Cable is fun. Cable is entertaining. Cable is all kinds of stuff. Cable costs you money every month. If you really want to get out of debt, cut the cable. Or let me say it this way. Don't tell me you really want to get out of debt and you have cable. We have an antenna in our attic. We've got those free boxes that you put by the TV. And we get channel 4, 5, 8, 11, the whole section of 13s and 21 and 33 and all the 58, the TBN stuff and 68. We get all that stuff. You know, if you didn't have cable, you'd have more money. You'd have more time. You'd probably have more peace in your house. And on it goes. Can you have cable? You bet you can. You can. But if you want to be out of debt, you can cut the cable. That is something you can do. You can rent a movie. If you don't have cable and you crave, you're addicted to. Oh, that's harsh. That's too harsh. You desire to see a movie at your home and you don't have the cable or your antenna doesn't work or it's raining too hard or something. You can. There's this thing called a rental. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but you can actually rent a movie. Some of those can get expensive. So there's this other thing. It's called Redbox. Have you ever heard of that? You can do a Redbox. You can do a Blue Box. You can stream it. You can. There's all kinds of things you can do. You could check it out at the library. And that's one of the things I've got in here. I'll show you that. There it is. It's my library card right there. You can go to the library. And you know what? When you get to the library, you are not going to find the movie that was released this week. But do you know, if you stay far enough behind, they'll seem like they were fresh. You can get some microwave popcorn and have a little family night, and that's it. You could even get together with some friends and watch a movie. You could get a group together and watch something and have a cookout. So you can do that. Okay. Turn the lights off when you leave a room. I did some research on my own a while back, and I found basically that if you leave the room for more than 1.3 seconds, more cost-effective to just turn the light off. And that's taking into consideration the life of the bulb and how many times it gets turned on and off, the cost of the bulb, and whether it was a fluorescent or an incandescent, and all these things. With all the factors in line, basically, 1.3 seconds. If you're going to leave a room for more than 1.3 seconds, turn the light off. We'll just make it out of control. We'll just go so far overboard on the other side and say, if you leave the room for more than 20 seconds, turn the light off. Turn the light off. I like Starbucks, really. I do. I like the smell of it more than I like to drink it. But I do. I like it. I like the iced tea there. I had this cup at the football game the other day. It's a Starbucks cup. And I had made iced tea at home and just put in the Starbucks cup. And look, I still got the look. The look going on. I've been to Starbucks with my homebrew iced tea, which I think tastes the same, if not better. Go there, make it a treat, do it once in a while. Keep that carrot and that hope out in front of you that a brighter day is coming and all of that. But go once in a while. Don't go every day. Don't go three times a day. This is not for everybody. But if you're able and you're not going to destroy your home, you can do some repairs around the home yourself without having to hire somebody at $60 an hour to come and do something all the time. Okay, and I'm saying that there are things that are not wise for all of us to get into unless you specialize in that field. I would not be a good electrician. I would probably burn the house down, which would not be good. But can I caulk? Can I paint? Can I? Yes. There are things that you can do that you should investigate that you can do. You can unclog a pipe without having to call somebody. And if you don't know how, you can ask. You can go to YouTube if you have internet access. You will find YouTube has 30,000 videos on how to unclog a kitchen sink, how to unclog a commode, how to do this, how to do that. There's everything. Oh, here's a tough one. Those are police patches. What this represents is don't speed. Don't go break the law. Don't get the ticket. You want to save money? Don't get the ticket. Don't get the ticket. They cost money and they take time. And even if you decide to go let Mallory handle it, it's still going to cost you money and time. And you've still done the wrong thing. It's wasting money. It's wasting your money, the money that God's given you, steward. When you have to go pay a $200 ticket or an $80 ticket or whatever it is, it's the same thing as saying, God, I know you've given me stewardship over this money, but I have just felt selfish enough to try to get somewhere faster than I was supposed to. I've completely disobeyed what the law says and what the word says regarding the authorities that you've put in place, and I've decided to take things into my own hands and go ahead and do this anyway, and I've been caught in it. And therefore, I'm going to have to use some of your money to pay for my stupidity. Oh, here's a good one. Rechargeable batteries. They cost more up front and they last forever. You can just keep using them and using them and using them. You go buy batteries. You buy batteries? Everything takes batteries. And every battery is like $2 or $3 now a piece. It used to be, you know, they were much cheaper. They figured out now that we all need them all the time, so they just quadrupled the price. Batteries cost a fortune. Like I said, you'll pay more for it up front unless you shop around. Sometimes you don't pay more for it up front. Case in point, my son Joshua has a digital camera. It takes a proprietary lithium-ion battery. It doesn't take double A's, triple A's. It takes a special battery. Code word for special is expensive. Those batteries are $29, $30 a piece for those little square thin batteries. Well, Joshua goes online and just looks around for a little bit, and Amazon, and 23 cents each. A little research. And actually, it wasn't that much research, because you just go to Amazon and do the search for that particular model of battery, and right there on the list are the batteries, 23 cents a piece. He ordered 5 of them. You can do this stuff. If somebody did come up and hand you $100, would you go to Saltgrass or would you put it on a bill? What would you do? What would you do? Seriously. You need to think about it. You need to have a plan before it happens. That is a Chick-fil-A bag, but we keep the bags. Because you get done eating a meal, then you throw your bag away, and then you go to the store and buy lunch bags for your kids to take their lunch to school. Stop it. Just keep the bag. You go to the store and buy them, and they're brown. You get them from Chick-fil-A, and they got all this stuff on them. They've got puzzles and games, and they can do this at lunch. Water spigot. Don't waste water. Turn the water off. You're pouring money down the drain when you do that. That is the standard wash mitt. Wash your own car. Wash your own car. Eat at home. Let eating out be a treat that you engage in once in a while, but not all the time. All the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. Eat at home. Go to the store. Get a good deal on some food. Take it home. Feed everybody for a week. A little crushed red pepper packet. What in the world could he be doing with that? You're going to get a pizza, and they're going to give you 40 of these things. And when you're done, you're going to throw them away. Don't throw them away. Throw them in a drawer. If you throw them away, then you go to the store, and you'll spend $4.50 on a container of them that's this in a container. Just put these in a drawer. When it comes pizza time, pull them out. Look, kids. Look what we got for you. Balance your checkbook. Know where you stand financially to the penny. Know where you stand. You need to know where your money's going. If you need to make a budget, make a budget. If you don't know how to make a budget, God help you. You need to know how to make a budget. You can make a budget on a piece of paper. If you don't have a piece of paper, you can use the back of an envelope that comes in the mail as junk mail. You can turn over. There's a way for you to write down something regarding your finances and know where you stand financially. You need to know where your money is and where it's going. And everybody said, amen. Take a close look at your bills. Take a close look at every one of your bills. Let's just take your home phone bill, for instance. First of all, you need to determine, do I need a home phone? If you have a cell phone and you don't need one, you should consider dropping it altogether. If you do need one, keep it. No problem. But you need to look at it. You need to look at your bill and see all those extra charges on there that you don't have any idea what they are and what they're for. And I'm telling you right now, if you just have a home phone and you don't specifically make some requests about that phone, you're going to end up with caller ID, caller name ID, caller waiting ID, call waiting, call forwarding, three-way calling, speed call 8, call blocker, call return, auto redial, and privacy manager that you will pay for individually in addition to what just the phone costs every month. Look at your phone bill and see what you're paying for. The chances are very good that you can call the phone company if you can get a hold of them. Sometimes they're hard to reach. But you may be able to make changes to that bill and save massive amounts of money. Okay? But you're not going to know till you read the bill. Avoid magazine subscriptions, newspaper, online subscriptions. Ladies, I'm not going to get into this. I'm just going to say hair and nails. Just think about it. There may be ways for you to spend less. Now, on the flip side, guys, I'm going to say Cabela's and Bass Pro. And leave it at that. Just think about it. Avoid impulse buying altogether. Establish for yourself a self-imposed waiting period. If you're married, make a commitment with your spouse to discuss purchases first and live in balance. That is a piece of particle board, and it represents this. Do not buy particle board furniture. Do not do it. I'm begging you, don't buy particle board. Why is that? Because it's not going to last 3 weeks. You're going to sit your glass on it, it's going to swell up, and then you're going to have to rebuy it again. Save your money. Buy a quality piece of furniture that you'll have the rest of your life. The kind of furniture that you can refinish 30 years from now if you wanted to. These are pennies. Pick up every single penny you see. Why do I need to pick up a penny? It's just a penny. There's the problem you just located, right? It's just a penny. Well, 100 of those make a dollar. Penny is money, and you need money. When you pick up a penny, it shows God that you're committed to follow this too. You're not just going to overlook the obvious thing, but you're going to cooperate with Him. And I'm telling you right now, here's a basic principle to follow. Even when you think, well, if I just cut that thing off my phone bill, it's just going to save $1.32 a month. Okay, $1.32. Okay, well, that's not a lot. But that little bit, along with the other little bit, and the other little bit, and the other, ends up being a big bit. And the next thing you know, I'm just telling you right now, before you even know it, you're going to end up having an extra $60, extra $80 a month. Before you, and you take that money and you apply it to something that you can pay off. I will say that sometimes it is better to pay off the lowest amount bill, even if you have a higher interest thing. Even though it doesn't make as much financial sense, it puts a hope in front of you that keeps you going. I'm not saying it's always the best thing to do. I'm saying it is something that I think a lot of people need. They need a spark of hope from where they are right now that there's finally that bill is eliminated. Then you concentrate on the next one and the next one. January 6th, 2010. The Lord dealt with me that was going to be the year, 2010, that we were going to be out of debt. Debt-free, mortgage-free. Totally impossible. Looks impossible. And it ended up being December 2nd, 2010, that the last part of the last payment was made on the house, and that was the end of everything, and we were completely debt-free and mortgage-free in 330 days, less than a year. In January, when we started, the amount that we still owed, that we were in debt at that time, was equivalent to twice my gross annual income, is what we still owed at that time. Now, anybody that's fairly smart here would understand that it doesn't mean that you can take 100% of your gross salary that you make and say, well, that covered half of it. No, we still had to live. Okay, we still had to live, still had to eat. All those kids still wanted to eat every day. So, what I'm saying is that in the course of that year, what would be equivalent to two times my gross income came to us. We discovered how to not spend, and through a combination of things, that amount of indebtedness was completely gone by December 2nd, in addition to what the salary was. So the salary still came in. I still made money. I still went to work and made money. But in addition to that, twice that amount was eliminated. Now, it's one thing to kind of say, well, that all happened in one year. Hallelujah, praise. But that was the culmination of years of preparation and getting to that point. It's not, that's when it manifested. That's when the good stuff happened all at once. But it doesn't mean that we didn't do anything leading up to 2010. We were doing these principles and these things. Like I said, we haven't had cable. It's not like we didn't have cable in 2010. We haven't had cable. We've invoked these principles and these ideas all along the way through our married life. And you might think, well, this is a long journey. Well, every journey, even a long one, starts with a first step. You've got to start. This is what you're doing tonight. I believe you're here because you want that step. You need that step. You need that hope. The kingdom of God needs you. Man, we've got folks to reach with the gospel. We're not going to do it all in debt. Let's get free, get out of debt, and get on down the road. We can propel this gospel forward at an unprecedented rate if we will work together on this. Giving has a goal. Coming out of debt has a goal. It's souls. And everything I'm talking about, you can apply it to money or you can apply it to a car, you can apply it to whatever. The thing you might be giving might not just be money. It might be you're supposed to do something else. Might be you're going to give a car away. Might be you're going to give some clothes away. Might be, who knows? You need to do what the Holy Ghost says to do. The bottom line is you can do something right now from where you are. You can make a move. There are things you can do. You need to open your eyes and reconsider everything. You need to take a fresh look at everything. You need to lay your bills out on the table and say, what is it that we can cut? Can I cut something? Can I? If I can't, then I can't. Okay, but can I? Take a step. Look at every bill. Look at every line of every bill. Anybody get anything out of this? We're on the way.